Check. Next, I'd like to introduce.
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and hello, friends. It is a hump day Wednesday. What's going out there? I'll tell you what. Picture perfect day outside. Great day to play hooky and get out and about. But alas, we are here for the next 4 hours, live and local here in your backyard. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Chris on the other side of the glass. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776, a social the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. You can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. You can follow me at CraigESPN. Follow Pete Shepard at PSHEP326. Don't forget to download our app. It is for free on our website at 99.3ESPN.com. And you'll need those devices to help you win $1,000. Sheeman and Shepard cash grab coming up at 4 and 6 o'clock during the show. Pete Shepard, how are you?
Hang on, let me check.
Good to hear you.
Oh, there we are. There I am. I had a hockey joke all ready to go.
That's my
bad. Said, play hooky. I was going to say, you don't play hockey. He's going to get a cheap laugh.
Oh, hockey. Hooky. Got it.
Mike was on. It just wasn't in program.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not my fault.
No, that was my fault.
I was not
was
in there.
Fault.
I did not do first and last this morning on ESPN. I did not screw up the board.
Or did you? You were so tired and cranky yesterday.
I was.
Are you sure?
Boys, you want to hear something? Step back. This is going to make Chris jealous. Sit back.
How much sleep did you get?
I'll throw something at you.
A solid 10. 10
oh, God,
hours.
When's the last time I've done that?
I went to bed at 11:30 last night. I didn't wake up to 10 o'clock this morning.
You woke up at 10?
It's 10. Wife got up, took my son to school, the whole deal.
You're an adult.
I know.
What adult sleeps until 10 o'clock?
An adult that got 2 hours of sleep the previous 2 days combined.
10 o'clock?
10. I'm like, man, it's really bright outside. Can somebody shut? Oh, it's 10. I got to get to work.
Go get some lunch and get into work.
Yeah, I knew that would make both of you jealous. Well, Pete, you don't sleep in, but
not
Chris,
usually, no,
Chris
but
hasn't slept since his children were born.
I'll take a nap, but I can't. I wish I could get 10 straight hours of sleep.
My alarm goes off at 5:45 just so I can guarantee myself
a cup of coffee.
30 minutes to have a cup of coffee.
Yeah. No, look, I admit it. It was fantastic. I needed it. I absolutely needed it. You saw me deteriorating before your very eyes on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
I needed it.
Heard it.
Probably should have gone to bed before 11:30 and then, you know, got up. But I'm a night owl. I get the second wind late at night. I'm weird that way. But anyway, well rested, ready
second
to go.
Second wind, watching late night basketball, breaking wind, no one's around. So there you go. I mean, you're all comfy and cozy. Yeah. And
it's a good spot to be in.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there was some NBA action last night. I had to keep an eye on for certain reasons. I got to, you know what? I got to do like East Coast only. That's what I got to do. Pick a few games I like on the East Coast.
Yeah, nothing tipping past 9:30.
Yeah, these West Coasters go until 1 a.m., which I didn't do last night. But, man.
Well, there's only one 10:30 game tonight.
Hold on. We got 10 games on the slate tonight.
Hey, I liked the 11 o'clock game last night. You had to stay up to about 1:15 before you saw San Diego State cover by a point.
Yeah, oh, I wasn't even going to mess
yeah, Orlando's at the Lakers tonight at 10:30.
Yeah,
Dallas is at Sacramento at 10. Everything else is 9:30 or before.
I'm passing on that game anyway, so if you know what I'm saying.
Dallas and Sacramento?
The Lakers game.
Oh, Orlando at the Lakers?
Magic Lakers.
Yeah.
I think the line's about right on that one. I'm not fooling around with it. I look for misses. That's what I do. That's my new specialty. So anyway.
Well.
All right, we got a lot to get to. More in the baseball scandals. It is now matriculated to Boston. We've got Joe Brady leaving to go back to the NFL. I think that's huge.
Yeah, happened right at the end of our show yesterday.
So
gets to coach Luke Kuechly.
Later on, apparently.
Not anymore.
J-Lo and Shakira are not getting along as they're preparing for the halftime performance.
Do I care about that?
Get out.
You don't, but Chris and I do.
I absolutely care about that. Yes.
Well, I have details.
You get two divas like that on the stage. Whose name's going to go first? Who's
going to
get the first song? Whose song is it going to be first? There's a lot that could have gone wrong there. I'm glad to see it's coming to fruition.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour. But as we're getting warmed up here, it is time now for a SportsCenter rundown with all the details. Here's Chris.
All right. Cardinals wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald signed a one-year deal to remain with the Cardinals for his 17th season. The terms of the contract were not announced, although he's played the last 4 years, making $11 million a year. Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly announced on Twitter last night he is retiring from the NFL at the age of 28. College hoops tonight, the ninth-ranked Florida State Seminoles host the Virginia Cavaliers. 99.3 ESPN, we're going to have that game starting at 6:45, tip-off at 7 on the Deuce.
I'm actually glad Luke Kuechly is retiring. He had one of the worst concussions I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And, look, he's got a little bit of money. He was a great player when he was healthy. I'm glad he's stepping away.
Excellent player.
I am, too. Followed his whole career from college at Boston College. I mean, he's just a phenomenal player.
Yeah, no doubt.
Probably doing the right. He retires at age 28. Andrew Luck at 29. Rob Gronk at 29. Patrick Willis at 30. Calvin Johnson at 30.
Couple of speaking of Gronk, Steve Harvey yesterday. I meant to get this yesterday. Not mad at Gronk for ruining his Lego face on New Year's Eve. Remember, it was a huge
had to be shtick then
design.
I don't think it was shtick.
I didn't think it was either.
Steve Harvey
played it off this
road.
Way. He said, "Look, my wife wasn't going to let me bring that thing in the house anyway.
Why?
And because it's huge and obnoxious.
And
I thought it was cool as hell.
Yeah, but I'm sure he has some sort of a man cave in there. I would frame that thing.
You can't frame it. It was
yes, you can. You would put it in a glass,
like a
piece of art. Yeah,
I would have. But he says, "Look, I like Gronk. He's cool. No big deal. I'm sure it took somebody a long time to put that together. But yeah, meant to mention that. Speaking of Patriot tight ends, real quick. So Netflix has this new deal with Darren Hernandez.
Man, unbelievable! I watched there's three episodes. They're all about an hour through the first one and half of the second one. While you were napping, and I was watching that this morning. It is really unbelievable. It's just starting to get into in the middle of the second episode about his time at Florida. But some unbelievable telephone conversations that were recorded that I never heard of. It has the interview with the quarterback that he went to high school with at Bristol Central, where they had a homosexual affair. And
as early as high school,
yes.
Huh?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. And the father, who was an ex-Marine, and it was the quarterback of his high school team. Father was the ex-Marine, came out and said, didn't know what was going on, but it is so, so interesting when there's so many layers to it. His father, while being initially like this good man, a solid parent, blah, 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 but also took his mom's face and bashed it into a sink once.
Oh, geez.
Knocked her unconscious. And she stayed with him.
Out of
then,
fear,
then after the father dies, it wasn't more than 3 months later. She goes and has an affair. She goes. She doesn't get remarried, but she goes and has a relationship with the ex, the girlfriend's father, or something like. It's crazy. Some of the stuff. Not to mention, he's in jail, getting ready to be charged with the Odin murder, and then the two other double homicide allegations come in from Boston.
Do you smell this thing turning the corner, coming in and putting it together in a big bow that? That his behavior and his murders were not his fault.
No.
Because of his past.
His dad passed. It had a big toll on him. I get all that. The guy was a psychopath. All right? I don't care about who he slept with, who he didn't sleep with. But clearly the tattoo thing happened after his dad passed. He started hanging around some gangbangers in Connecticut. Mm. Now, that's a fact. That's well documented. And, nobody wanted him to leave UConn. That's where he was going to go. And then he came down to Florida, and the rest is history. But most of his friends after the great career he had with the Gators and everything else, his first-round pick didn't get drafted to the fourth round. Remember, he and Gronk got drafted in the same draft in 2010. But all of his friends in Connecticut, his close friends, wanted him to go west, wanted him to get drafted west so he could get away from everything. And Urban Meyer came on. He was part of the interview with him was – I used to cringe every time we were on break, or if we had a few days, and he would go back to Connecticut because when he came back here, he was always different.
Had to deprogram him again,
Yep.
Wow. Well, I haven't seen it. I've just read a lot of reviews that are great. Yeah. You Florida Gator fans around here will like it. I don't care if you're a Patriot fan or not. It sounds pretty good.
It is. It's fascinating stuff. It really is. I recommend it.
I'd imagine the football side of it has got to be pretty minimal. I mean, that's why we're interested in it. But...
Oh, no, that's a ton of football. I mean, you should see, they showed him like when he was a freshman in high school. Oh, my God. I mean, just they showed him all the way through high school. And, you know, his brother was a quarterback at UConn. That's where he got a scholarship offer, which I didn't know this, at 14 from UConn. So he was Lane Kiffin before Lane Kiffin by the coach there. Just interesting stuff. Highly recommended.
All right, let's keep things in the Northeast. No big surprise, but it's big news anyway. Alex Cora has stepped down, they say mutual, fired, however you want to word it, as the manager of the Red Sox. Collateral damage to the cheating scandal, sign stealing, both when he was with the Astros and then again with the Red Sox. And so now pitchers and catchers come down here to Fort Myers on February 12th. We don't know who the manager of the Red Sox is going to be.
Let me sum up the minutia of pedantic blathering that went on. I'm talking about the Red Sox front office, which was totally expected.
In their press conference?
Here's the summary, okay, in case you missed it. Two quotes. One, we aren't going to get into that right now. Said that about a million times. Number two, to media and fans alike, please reserve judgment until the investigation is complete, even though we fired our manager. So, reserve judgment. Stop it. So, and he's going to get more. He's going to get the most of anybody. It's only a matter of time.
I had this thought after I left the airwaves here yesterday, and you know I was on the show.
Well, let me throw this in just real quick. Sure. They insisted. This is another thing. They insisted that he was not fired. They just agreed to part ways,
right,
Greg and Chris.
Right.
So that's the big
AJ
white
Hinch
glove,
was fired.
White glove slap in the face. He wasn't fired. They're just parting ways. It's so them when it comes to this stuff.
Now, I made a comment on the show yesterday that I thought if Major League Baseball was going to do all this and have these long suspensions, I said, well, are they going far enough? Should they relinquish the World Series titles when we're talking about the Astros?
Yeah.
I would have to, and I'm not saying this because you're Red Sox.
No.
I would have to follow up and say this with the Red Sox, too, if everything comes out. But I got to thinking when I was on my way home, baseball is basically saying that they think this is so serious. This is on an equivocal punishment to a three-time PED person that has failed a drug test three times in the league. You got to sit out for a whole year. That's what they just gave the Astros. So that tells me they think this is every bit as serious as PED cheating. This is a big deal. Electronic sign stealing is a big deal, according to baseball, here in 2020.
Yeah. I heard Bob Costas on early today. It was a good interview. Lebertard did with him. And I think it was Strigatz who asked him, what's the more egregious? Steroids,
betting
on baseball,
or
sign stealing.
Yeah.
And he had steroids first,
yeah,
followed by betting on baseball if you're betting against it, and then steroids was last. The sign stealing was last. The steroids he had at the top of the list.
And we know these weren't the only two doing it. That's the other thing. But there are a lot of players out there. We've heard a lot of Dodgers say they feel like they were robbed. CC Sabathia feels like he was robbed. They had a series with the Astros, I think, go down to the final pitch in a 7-game series, if I remember correctly, if I'm getting my postseason mixed up.
And you cannot tell me these owners didn't. Like Jim Crane has a real shady past. He made some really bad remarks about minorities not too long ago, about in his companies. He's had some shoddy deals in his companies. He doesn't have the greatest past. I tried to get, with the Texas Rangers and that debacle, what happened, and it was, he doesn't have the best reputation. And I'd be a hypocrite if I'm thinking that, I mean, that if John Henry and Tom Warner and Chaim Bloom, the new general manager, if they didn't know, well, he wasn't there. He was in Tampa, so he wasn't there in 2018. But you cannot tell me that guys like Jim Crane and John Henry were oblivious to all this stuff. I refuse to believe it. Absolutely refuse to believe it. And I'm still wondering, should the players be punished? Should some players be punished? I mean, that's probably difficult to prove who exactly would be involved. But is it surprising that no players are punished in this, even though they participated in it?
They're afraid to do it. They're afraid to do it
because nobody
the
be
strong,
left.
Well, plus the strong players union. I'm telling you, how do you decide who was involved and who was just happened to be in the dugout that day, and which days it happened? The players union would fight that and throw that right.
How
back
do you
in
prove?
Face.
Oh, he's whacking a bucket, but he's got hip. He's just it's a tune. It's
no
circumstantial evidence.
And I mentioned this yesterday. There's no union for managers and general managers and how do you?
Yeah, I know.
I think they took the low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
To go ahead and ruin eight or not ruin, but obviously suspend AJ Hinch for a year. And Jeff Luhnow for a year. That was the easy one. They started going after players. This thing would be dragged out forever.
And Alex Cora also really insinuated in the press conference earlier this year, or last year, I should say, in 2019, that Carlos Beltran helped the Yankees steal signs last season. I mean, I've seen a couple of things, and it's interesting. And that's their own mess the Mets have to deal with. They're going to deal with that now.
That's the next storyline to come out of this. Is what happens with Beltran and the Mets. Now, Major League Baseball coming out and saying he was a player at the time. We're not going to go after him as a manager.
Right.
And what the Mets do, those are two separate things.
Because now the Mets have to say, well, okay, the other two managers involved, one got fired, the other one just walked away, quote unquote, to make it look good.
They were both fired.
Right. How can you sit here as a Mets organization and look at your guy and say, well, we're just going to wash your hands of it and let you go or let you continue? I don't think they can. I don't know how you can let Carlos Beltran manage your team this year.
I think he's going to, though, unless more stuff comes out, and who knows. This, I mean, we're talking about pitchers and catchers are coming in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
February 12th.
Less than a month, yeah. Well, I guess exactly a month, right?
Yeah,
31 days, 28? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes people report earlier to Fort Myers.
No, but 4 weeks today.
Yeah.
It's when they report. I thought it was interesting. Golic and Wingo had somebody on today. It was Michael Kay from the Michael Kay Show in New York City. And there are people kind of around baseball now, people who cover the sport, who are starting to come out with their own stories about this, how they remember this at the time and they didn't think much of it. But now with this news that they were stealing signs and communicating with technology, now it's starting to make sense. In the ALCS where they beat the Yankees, I think it was game six. Mm-hmm. Jose Altuve hit a walk-off home run.
Right.
He's rounding third. As he's rounding third base, he's screaming to his teammates, don't rip off my jersey.
Yeah. Right.
Don't rip off my jersey.
Yeah.
When you hear that, you think, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
And he said it was because his wife said it was embarrassing. Well, now there are people in baseball kind of saying, well, hold on. What if he's got a buzzer attached to his chest and they're actually buzzing him when it's a breaking ball?
He's wired. Like an FBI not wired.
And I know. Is it a little bit conspiracy theorist? Maybe.
Yeah.
But you can't say anything's off the table for this team
now. Not after the Red Sox and Yankees with the Apple Watch incident.
No, exactly. So and that was their point.
That
was their point. Yeah. Like, hey, nothing's off the table now when talking about the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox.
I remember that incident. Mm-hmm. I thought it was because he didn't want the buttons flying off and he wanted to keep the jersey.
Put it in a hole.
But who cares? It's at the end of the game.
I hear you. Why? But okay, if your whole team's on it, why would you rip a jersey off of a guy and expose what you all know is going on?
I don't know. Again, this was what Michael.
Can you imagine if he's they said home plate? They're celebrating. They rip the jersey off, and there's a piece of masking tape with the wire and something in his belt. That's connected to, a microphone. Oh, my God.
That would be awesome.
That would have been.
But again, and it's Michael Kay saying this, not me, but he's like, look, is it crazy? Yeah. But is this whole story crazy? Yeah.
I'm going to be curious to see how we in the media cover this story when we, reporters have access to the Astros every day. Mm-hmm. You know, guys like Justin Verlander and all that can be very standoffish toward the media if they want. They're going to get peppered with this stuff single day.
He's been amazingly silent.
Well, of course he has, but he's not going to be able to forever. I mean, they need to do a Bill Belichick type answer and, try and shut this down, but I don't know if they're going to be able to. And that includes the Boston Red Sox media, too. I mean,
the
Yankee media. There's going to be questions every day.
Hold on, Pete.
And remember, the Red Sox own the Boston Globe.
Bingo.
So
John
always
Henry.
Been,
yes.
It's always been, there's a couple of people there that have a lot of respect for. I do not have a lot of respect for what that paper had become.
What about when the Dodgers play Houston? I mean, this is going to be awesome.
Well, it's that. I mean, it's you look at the Oakland A's, who have had really good baseball teams the last few years.
Presumably doing it the right way.
Doing it the correct way.
Yeah. And coming up short.
Can you make an argument that, hey, maybe this whole thing has cost the Oakland A's wild card game by it cost them the division 1 year, maybe.
Or
it could cost the Tampa Rays a franchise. They can't win a World Series, so they're going to move.
Or you wonder how much more of this is going to come out, how many other teams have been doing it, that somebody's going to rat out somebody. It's only going to take one. I don't think this is over yet.
A former pitcher of the Astros. Yeah. He's a Oakland A now, and he
Gerrit Cole.
Yeah,
he didn't seem too happy with the Astros at the end. That's why he left. By the way, the Yankees came out good. They're two biggest nemesis in the postseason. The Astros and the Red Sox.
Absolutely.
Neutered.
The Rays and the A's
and they
are
got
their biggest.
Gerrit Cole.
but still, you know, if it's still the pitching staffs of both of those teams, that's what you're looking for. I mean, I know they lost Gerrit Cole. The Astros are still a really good baseball team. The Red Sox get Sale and Price back on track. No matter who's managing, they're going to be pretty good.
Right.
The Yankees, you know, are going to be the clear-cut favorite to win. But it's, look, like the Baltimore Ravens, it's never as easy as it seems. But for this scandal, what's going on right now, I don't think it's over yet.
How's it going to look if the Astros come out this year and they're a 500 team? Because they can't hit, because they can't cheat.
And also because baseball. Right, well, you know, it's
but what's going to happen if they come out and in first place, start to finish?
Yeah. Then I'll assume they're pretty good.
Well, you know.
Oh, I can tell you this. Any road game that they have,
expect
people to be banging on some trash cans in the stands.
Oh, it's going to be hysterical. Oh, absolutely.
You
in
know
fact,
what?
The Yankees, minor league affiliate in Staten Island is having a mini trash can night when the Astros come to play over there at Staten Island. Yeah.
I will argue that this is the best thing that's happened to baseball in 5 years. Are we ever interested in the beginning of a baseball season?
It's like we've used this example this week. Baseball's like a puppy, right?
Yeah.
If it can't get good attention, at least bad attention is attention.
Right. We're going to be paying attention. And, you know, other than opening day, and then we kind of forget about it until school's out in the summer and then the dog days of summer, and then we start paying attention in October. I'm telling you, this is going to be the best thing that happened to the rest of baseball.
It might initially, anyway. Initially.
Right. It's good that we're talking about the sport right now.
Would we be talking? It is the week of the conference championships in football.
I know.
And we just spent the first 22 minutes of our show talking about Major League Baseball and pitchers and catchers don't report for a month. This is great for baseball.
The fact the commissioner put out an email, basically, or an order, nobody can talk about this. I'm wondering how much life is it going to have after this weekend.
You're going to hear a lot of unnamed sources come up in stories and all that kind of stuff. That's what's going to happen.
Mary Wynier says the mean streets of Connecticut. Mary Wynier, because I was talking about Hernandez. Let me tell you something, son. I will bring you to right near the campus of Yale University, one of the most prestigious campuses and one of the most universities, Ivy League, in the country. And I promise you, if you don't know what you're doing, you'll be dead in 15 minutes. It is not the greatest neighborhood, nor does any state. Every state has its issues. So when you say the mean streets of Connecticut, now I will grant you this. Where he grew up was a nice neighborhood. And, you know, where he went to Bristol Central, I mean, where Aaron grew up was a nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wasn't, but there's good, as you know, there's good and bad everywhere. But there are a lot of mean streets in Connecticut. I promise you that. New Haven.
All right, your reaction to this and the start of the baseball season at 239-337 ESPN. Still a lot to do. Field Yates comes in here in about an hour. And we'll talk to him about the conference championships and some other news going around the National Football League. Joe Brady leaving LSU. I want to get into that a little bit, what that means for the future of their program. And another hockey firing that is inexplainable. I don't know. We'll get into that as well.
1 year and LSU's done already.
One and done. No, probably
back
not.
Back to 3 yards and a cloud of dust.
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay. All right.
We'll see.
I can't wait for Miami to emulate LSU next year. Can't wait for that spring game.
All right. We shall discuss all that coming up. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. It's conference championship week. Watching a press conference right now with Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill in the AFC championship game, ladies and gentlemen. Let that just ruminate and soak in a little bit, Dolphins
fan. How
about
this little nugget? I'd forgotten about this, but Packers head coach Matt LaFleur and his younger brother, if you don't know, is 49ers passing game coordinator Mike LaFleur.
I did not realize
that. How about that?
They're going to be in cahoots. Watch out. Big news as we get into Field Yates will join us in an hour, and we'll get his thoughts on the matchup, among other things. And I want to ask him about Kevin Stefanski as well, taking that Browns job. The big news in football, Joe Brady, 24 hours from winning a title and being given a lot of the credit, if not most of it, for turning Joe Burrow's career around and helping LSU to a national championship.
Life.
Turn his life around?
Life around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One and done in LSU, and he's going back to the NFL. Remember, he was with the Saints for a minute. Now he's going to the Carolina Panthers as their offensive coordinator.
Ryan Allen might be his quarterback. What does it mean for Cam Newton? Who knows?
Kyle.
What
did I say?
Ryan.
God,
it's all right.
It's more important for the Patriots. I can't get him out of my head.
Look, if your leader on defense, Luke Kuechly, yeah, has just retired, and your leader on offense, Cam Newton, may never play for you again, and you've got a new head coach with a five-year deal for $70 million.
Tear it down.
You might want to hit the rebuild button.
Tear it down.
He might. So why would Joe Brady take that job?
Well, Trevor Lawrence, you moved from Clemson to Charlotte? What's that, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 hours?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. That's where we're going. Yeah, that's right. Strip it down and get Trevor Lawrence next year.
I got home last night, and I had Finney show on the last 35 minutes or so, and there are a lot of people texting and on the scroll. Trevor Lawrence should not hire an agent, not play, and just sit out and –
I think it's a worthy conversation.
I think it is.
I think a day will come when that does happen. I don't get the feeling that Trevor Lawrence will be that guy.
Had they won, I think he might have considered it a little bit more.
I thought his handshake with Joe Burrow was a little frosty afterward. Did you all see that after the game? I mean,
well,
it was at 1 in the morning.
He's never lost.
He doesn't know how to lose.
That's all right. I never put a lot of stock in that kind of stuff because they chat so often before the game and stuff, and I think the handshake stuff gets a little overblown.
So what do we do now with LSU's offense? They're going to try. They got to get a new quarterback. They got to try and keep it going. They still have the other offensive coordinator, the guy who tragically lost his daughter-in-law before the playoff game. But I don't know. Ed Ogeron's got it rolling right now. We'll see what happens. I see Bobby Petrino is back in coaching at Missouri State.
Look out.
There were some stories out earlier, and I think this was a gag because Art Briles had to answer it. The story out there floating around is that Missouri State was choosing between Bobby Petrino and Art Briles. Mm-hmm. Art Briles says he never spoke to Missouri State. So fake news, I guess.
I hope.
I see.
By the way, the next quarterback in line is Miles Brennan. He's a sophomore.
Does he have any stats?
6'4".
I don't recall seeing him this year. Even in mop-up duty
time? He was in for mop-up duty.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see.
I'll check, but he's...
Felipe Franks is available. He's visiting Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
What? Of all the schools to visit, you're just guaranteeing you're going to struggle. And you're going to come in last in the SEC.
Well, you're going to be behind. You're going to be behind in every game you play.
Great coach there.
Chris,
the quarterback.
Chris can't remember the guy's name every day.
Sam Powell.
Pittman.
Sugar plums.
Between Pete's mental block with the quarterback at Carolina and your block with the Arkansas coach.
I don't know how I'm going to remember Pittman either.
Mr. Pittman from Seinfeld.
That means nothing to me.
Well,
means nothing to me.
Mr. Pitt, is Elaine there?
So Sam Pittman.
Yeah.
Pittman.
And Tua is going to throw before the draft. He will be at the combine, but will not participate, obviously. But no, I think there was a question at one time if he was even going to be able to throw and work out before the draft in front of anybody. So that's a good sign. That's a good sign that the healing with the hip and the surgery and all that is going well, I think.
We still don't know when it will be that he'll throw.
Oh, it might be the 21st of April, right before the draft.
Right, it might be the Alabama Pro Day if he's ready, which those are in March.
Yeah.
Those are in March.
I wasn't under the impression he'd be ready to go by March, because he's not going to – the Combine is in March also. I don't think he's going to be ready then.
I thought that was late February. No, the Combine is March. You're right.
Yeah.
So maybe he gets to where he can go do the individual workouts for teams the – 2-3 weeks leading up to the draft? Maybe?
Maybe. It's cutting it close.
Yeah.
No setbacks. Can't have any setbacks.
Miles Brennan, by the way, played 8 games this year, was 24 of 40, 60%, 353 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick.
But no Joe Burrow.
No.
Nobody's ever been Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow wasn't Joe Burrow a year ago. That was laughable to discuss.
But he had Joe Brady.
But we didn't know this was going to be magic. A year ago today, we had no idea.
Yeah, go get a new OC.
And Joe Brady, we weren't giving him any credit for what he did at New Orleans with the Saints. We're like, well, you got Drew Brees.
Who's the cause of everything.
Whose birthday it is today, by the way.
Happy birthday, Drew.
Yeah,
42. Okay. Yep.
It's getting up there.
Well.
Look,
it's relative.
I don't know a whole hell of a lot about Miles Brennan, but I know under the system he played in, we'll know more. I mean, I'm sure depending on what recruits come in, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think there's going to be age?
What was his name?
Miles Brennan, sophomore. Do you think there's going to be a dramatic drop off for LSU? I don't. I don't think I think it's hard to repeat in any sport, obviously, especially college football, but. What are they going to be? 7-6? No.
Look, I've seen Alabama crank out new guys every other year, and I'm like, who's that guy? And then it works out for him.
Yeah.
Miles Brennan, 4-star quarterback out of Missouri. Sure.
Yeah. All right, it's his turn. Next man up.
Maybe.
4 stars, not bad.
It's not 5 stars.
No. Was Burrow a 5-star when he went to Ohio State?
I believe, coming out of high school was a 2-star.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I believe he was a 2-star.
But the guy that made him awesome is now gone.
That's my point.
So Brennan will not have Joe Brady tweaking his offense. I think it means a lot.
It might. It might. But you're talking about a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. You know, that's a record-setting year. That's a once-in-a-lifetime get, basically.
T. Martin followed it up.
Oklahoma had back-to-back Heisman people.
How about that?
It could be done.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Yeah, but it can be done. And maybe it will be done. But I'm talking, this is what Joe Burrow did was historic.
Yeah. 60.
Yeah.
60 touchdowns.
And I think only 6 picks. In just a second. Yes. And I know two I remember were just stupid.
Receiver's fault?
Yeah, deflected, you know.
Deflections?
Stupid.
Those ones that happen over the course of a football season?
Yeah. Ones that go right through the receiver's hands and...
But.
Oh, speaking of receivers, can I mention Drew Pearson right now?
Oh, I'm so mad.
The NFL announced the rest of its all century, or it's playing catch up with the Hall of Fame.
The centennial class.
Right. And it announced its receiver class as well. Drew Pearson had video, people watching him, whole family over everywhere, everybody wearing Team Drew shirts on, little kids, old ladies, the whole family was there. And you can hear the NFL Network in the background, and that concludes our deal. And Drew Pearson, it's heartbreaking.
He's now the only member of the NFL 1970s all-decade first team not in.
Well, there have only been 13 of the 15 announced.
Yeah, but Lynn Swann is in, and Drew Pearson's numbers are better. And, okay, he played a year and a half, I believe, longer, but his numbers are better. He should be in. It's disappointing.
He and Roger Staubach were the Hail Mary, for crying out loud.
First one. The first time ever that term was ever used.
That alone should almost put you in. If you made a significant impact in the game. And...
Well, Vikings fans might disagree with you, but... Poor fat.
Anyway, it's a tough video to watch. Yeah, you're seeing a grown man just literally upset.
Yep.
And embarrassed, I think, in front of everybody. It's like, they got me. They did it to me again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
All right, Pete, you're kind of the hockey expert here. Explain this to me. The Golden Knights firing Gerard Gallant, their head coach. Why? He's been pretty successful with their short stint there, right?
It's got to be something internal. Probably more is going to come out. I mean, look, I've seen coaches win a division or finish second and get fired the day before the playoffs start.
We've seen
Coach Julian get fired by the Canadiens the day before the Devil, right before the playoffs started.
Seems like every other year hockey coach gets fired like 6 games into the season, too. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, this isn't 6 games in.
Well, I know, but I'm saying there are many situations that are very weird in hockey where coaches just get fired. This is one of them. This is inexplicable.
Yeah, and I don't know the entire situation. Something has to be wrong internally. This is the guy that brought them to the Stanley Cup his rookie year. Oh, they're rookies. Their inaugural season.
Is it because of the slump they're in? They've gone like 6-7-2 over the last 15 games.
Yeah, okay, but that happens in the
course
of the season.
I know. That's why it's so crazy.
And they're only 3 points out of the division. Hmm. It's a little. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And who they hired? DeBoer, who got fired from the San Jose Sharks last month. Pete DeBoer.
Sounds like a coup d'état.
So I'm looking at and. All right, they're 24-19-6 in 49 games, 551%. It ranks them ninth in the conference. They were third in the inaugural season and seventh last year, although they were banged up quite a bit. And they're tied with Winnipeg right now, who blanked the Bruins last night 3-0 for the final wild card spot. But management thinks they should be better,
yeah,
and that DeBoer is a coach to get them out of it. But I don't know. This guy that won the Jack Adam Award for Coach of the Year 2 years ago, and now doesn't have a job. Yeah, it's got to be something internally.
Yeah. Hey, how about us?
Their 5-on-5 play when they're not on the power play has been bad.
Yeah.
I'm reading some numbers here. I mean, I can understand it, but I also believe that they might have been able to get themselves out of it. I think it's a little too early. It's not even the All-Star break yet.
That's what I thought.
But
I was very surprised by it. So look at that, people. In the first 40 minutes of the show, we covered baseball, hockey, in addition to our usual football. We're all over the place covering sports. Sports.
We talked a little basketball.
We talked about my...
Our quota has been reached. Let's move on to
so
spices.
You want to get to the nonsense like my 10-hour nap last night?
No.
Chris's new haircut?
No, that's an issue.
I want to get to the Super Bowl halftime show.
We're going to do that at 3 o'clock. Yeah, well, cat fight, 3 o'clock.
I'm excited to get into this.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
J-Lo's in shape.
When has she not been?
Do you see her in the movie Enough?
Yes. Oh.
I don't know which one that was.
She is so good. That's the one she beat the crap out of her ex-husband.
Out of her ex-husband, yeah.
She was training.
Quite the scandal. No Oscar nomination for her little strip pole movie, whatever that was. Hustlers?
The guy who trained her in that movie is the most frightening person ever. I mean, just so intense. The guy trained her.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so awesome. I thought she was going to get nominated for an Academy Award.
In Enough?
Yeah.
He was Apollo Creed's trainer in Rocky, wasn't he?
No.
Same guy?
No. That was he's dead now. He was much shorter and chunkier.
Okay, maybe I'll get
No, not even close. Not even close. This guy was like a brick, you know what house. And
is he talking about the old bald African American dude that was Creed's trainer in
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he was
that's
short,
who I was talking
he was
about.
Short guy.
All right.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
This was a big, tall African American guy. He was about 6'4" and built. I think he had an ounce of fat on him, and the way he trained here was awesome. Those scenes in that movie were spectacular.
Bruce A. Young.
Yeah. Okay. He's like, we have to train for the impossible too.
Also in Basic Instinct.
He was?
Jurassic Park 3.
Huh.
Okay.
Risky Business.
Risky
and Hot Shots.
You just spanned 25 years of movie making.
I don't know what to tell you guys.
This was his most dramatic role because some of those were comedies. And was he the guy that got eaten on a plane in Jurassic Park 3 in the first scene?
I don't know. Let's see what his
role
was.
Hold on. What year was Risky Business and what year was Jurassic Park?
1985.
The years we have just spanned.
He was Nash in Jurassic Park 3.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know what that means. He was Nash, though.
That was a horrible movie.
That was the one that came out in 2001.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Right.
Wow.
That's when the movie, I think I told this
83
to you
guys, for Risky Business, sorry. 83.
Jurassic Park 3 is when the woman in front of me had her two young kids, and I mean 3 and 4 years old.
Terrible age to go to the movies.
And when the plane crashed.
Attention span like a goldfish.
Plane crashed, and the T-Rex came in and ate a couple of people, ripped them in half right in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And these kids just started screaming and lost it.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
And the mother turns around and I go, why do you think it's PG-13? I said, this isn't Disney. She's like, I can't believe they do this. I go,
what did you think? They're trying to make you scared of dinosaurs.
Get out.
They succeeded.
Get out.
Go watch Beauty and
the Beast. Don't take a three-year-old to a movie. Don't take three-year-olds where you know there's going to be decapitations.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Go watch Beauty and the Beast down the hall. All right, coming up, a trip down Sound Street.
Throw the damn towel. That was Rocky IV.
Yes, it was.
Throw the damn towel.
And then at the top of the hour.
This is supposed to be an exhibition. Big spit came out of his mouth, too.
If he dies.
He dies.
All right, and the catfight between J-Lo and Shakira for the Super Bowl halftime show.
What are you guys doing?
More details coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny. I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
right, a couple of big announcements regarding the Carolina Panthers. Joe Brady's going to be their new offensive coordinator leading LSU. Luke Kuechly, their linebacker for the last 8 years, suffered a lot of concussions along the way. He decided to announce his retirement. This is Panthers.com.
I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to play this game since I was in fourth grade, and I've been with the Panthers now for 8 years, and it's never the right time to step away, but now is the right time for me, and it's a tough decision. I've thought about it a lot, and I think now is the right chance for me to move on.
Later, he got a little emotional, says he wants to play, but he just can't do it anymore.
For me, now is the right opportunity to move in a different direction, and you know, there's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid is to play fast and play physical and play strong. And at this point, I don't know if I'm able to do that anymore. And that's the part that is the most difficult is. I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision.
You know, I love my job. I love my career. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't think I'm going to cry on the last day. I think it's going to be a day to celebrate it all. These guys, always cry in front of the camera.
Well,
but
like it's emotional. I mean,
you be emotional. I sunk my whole life into a radio career. I don't know that I'll cry. But you guys cry at everything, so I don't know. You cry at movies.
Well, I don't know what that means.
You both cry at Iron Man.
I do. Yeah,
I don't know.
But
so
you're not sensitive.
You
at
heard
all.
Him say right there, though. I think he's crying because he wants to play.
He wants to play, but
he
physically
just
can't do it
anymore.
Yeah,
and. This is, you know, you start playing the game at what age?
Well, he
I was like
fourth
seven.
Grade. He was fourth grade, so I'd say nine.
Right. So, I mean, he's been playing football every fall since nine. He's 28. Two-thirds of his life, every fall rolls around, he's out on a football field.
Bang, bang, bang.
I've been
bang.
In radio since I was 15.
Okay. He's no Craig Sheeman, I guess.
Did you wear a helmet your first 30 years or not? Get hit in practice.
I wore headphones.
Get hit in production service.
You know, you put on those headphones. It's the same thing.
We don't. Yeah, what, we don't hit each other at helmet to helmet before the show.
Look, I could be wrong. Maybe I'll step down one day here at 99.3 ESPN, and I'll boohoo all over myself, and then you all make fun of me.
No,
that's fine.
I think you'll get a little emotional when you sign off for the final. When you give your final God Bless America.
Yeah.
You don't think that you'll. God bless America.
I don't know. Listen, maybe I will. Maybe it'll be a grandiose moment.
Yeah, let's have Craig Sheeman teach Luke Kuechly how to act tough.
Well, I mean, you know, come on.
So insensitive. My God, you Indiana people are rough.
Pete Shepard, you've been in it this as long as I have. Are you going to tear up on the last day?
Bleep, yeah.
Bleep, yes. Yeah.
Probably. I mean, hopefully it won't be for a while.
I see you going through a whole list of grievances your last hour of your career.
No, it's no grievances. it'll be...
Everybody between Boston and South Florida, you're going to rip on this guy and that person?
Nope. 98% great stuff. Been very, very fortunate. Right. Very fortunate overall.
Chris, will you get emotional on your last day?
Kidding me?
Yeah.
By the time
probably.
He has to retire, it's not gonna be radio.
I'll be on the internet. I can edit it.
You'd be like, I don't know. Probably be broadcasting from the moon.
That'd be cool.
6'3" said he cried on his last day of the Marine Corps. Wow. All right. And Anski, Craig should be in concussion protocol after
Thank
yesterday's
you.
Show.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Can we just continue?
Everybody's
on?
Calling your.
Here's Kevin Stefanski, the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. No bold predictions. The Browns are just gonna work.
You know, I'm not going to stand up here and make any bold predictions about what we're going to do this year. I'm not going to speak anything into existence right now. I can just promise you that we're going to work. I've already spoken to a few of our players already, and that's what I'm about. I'm about working, and I'm about putting a foundation together. We will be methodical about it. We will not skip step two and three to get to four. We're going to start in the foundation, and then we're going to reinforce that foundation so that we can build upon it.
All right. Stefanski also shoots down rumors that he will have to discuss his game plan in advance with the analytics.
These texts are great.
I may as well be the one to ask. Is it true that you are required to have a Friday meeting with analytics crew and present your game plan?
It's not true. I like that report. That was a good one. And it's silly season for that type of stuff. I understand that. But to me, analytics, I can't say it enough, it's a tool.
It's a tool. All right, here's Paul DePodesta from the analytics department of the Browns. He says it's not just spreadsheets and numbers.
I think people have a really warped view of maybe what analytics is. I think I maybe have a very different conception than what everybody else has. You know, when I think of analytics, I just think of having sort of frameworks to make decisions under uncertainty. I mean, look, everything we do in these jobs is really built around uncertainty. I mean, what players we're going to take in the draft, you know, what we're going to call on third and eight. I mean, it's all about uncertainty, right? So what frameworks can you create that at least maybe stack the odds in your favor, give you a better chance of being successful? And whether that's drafting a player or hiring a coach or calling a play, it's not necessarily about numbers and spreadsheets.
All right, Fisherman Nat says, can we stop talking about y'all's last day? I really enjoy listening to you, and I don't want to think about that right now. Love the show.
Let's just back to Kuechly real quick because, you know, he ends up at Boston College. He left after his junior year, but Cincinnati, Ohio, and he, you know, looked at BC, Virginia, Duke, and Stanford. How does Ohio State – I know you can't look at it, but how does Ohio State, like, not give him a look? Or Cincinnati, I mean, not give him a look.
It's one of those things. How is Joe Burrow a two-star and turns in the greatest season in college football history? It's just
– maybe he was too emotional.
Guys slip through the cracks. Play. Just stop it, Craig. You don't even believe the words coming out of your mouth.
When's the last time you cried?
When my dog died.
Okay, well, that's acceptable.
It was like
obviously.
A week and a half ago, wasn't
it? A year ago.
All right, before that.
Before that?
Last time you threw up.
How about when your daughter graduated high school?
Last time you threw up.
How about when your daughter graduated high school?
Oh, I cried when I graduated high school. I didn't think that day would ever come.
Can't remember.
That means no.
I don't think so. It was a happy day. It was a joyous day.
You can have happy tears.
Well, I was more – see, I had a lot going on then. Remember, I had been working here for a year without my family, and I let my daughter graduate from high school back. So I was like, let's get this on. Let's get this over with. Hurry up. Get the diploma. I got the moving van in the front of the house.
What
let's
about on
go.
Your wedding day? Did you cry on your wedding day? When you saw your lovely bride walking down the aisle?
No.
Careful.
No, I didn't. I was excited. We were going to Hawaii the next day. I mean, it was – cry. I was jacked.
Well, I had kind of sad tears the second time because I really, really thought about getting out of it. Seriously.
At the altar?
Yeah, I really
thought
about it.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that day. Oh, that's I really
a terrible
thought about
it. Holy bleep, what am I about to do?
Exactly. But the last time were happy tears in Jamaica. In Jamaica, yeah.
Hey, Pete, I want to ask you something that's none of my business.
Oh, great.
The first two. What happened? Did they rip Tom Brady?
Oh, no.
Did they make fun of Bill Belichick?
No.
What happened?
No, the first one was like very short. That was way before Tom Brady. No, that was the Rod Rust years. That was terrible.
All right. Coming up, J-Lo and Shakira not getting along, preparing for the halftime performance of the Super Bowl. We got ourselves a cat fight when we come back. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.